2 years ago, they demoted Detective Inspector Bill Slade to Detective Sergeant and kicked him out of Denton Division. Some people said he was treated unfairly. Others were damn glad to see him go. But one thing is certain. If it hadn't been for the bank raid, they never would have brought him back.
How would you like it?
Oh, I'll have five, please.
Five's right.
Bennington's Bank, Market Street, Denton. 2:30, Wednesday afternoon. Everything boringly normal, until...
No one move! Do what we say, now I'm going to get hurt!
Please, I've got to get out, I can't stay here, please let me go!
Tell the gallery!
Please,
I told you that. Please, now open up those tubes, open it!
Yes, yes.
Take out the money, hold the notes. Now push them forward. Both hands! What are you doing? Who sounded the alarm?
Cover Up by R.D. Wingfield, with Andrew Burt as the narrator, Detective Constable Kilburn, David Sinclair as Detective Sergeant Slade, and David Garth as Detective Inspector Hackman. Cover Up.
X-ray Delta 3 to control. X-ray Delta 3 to control.
Control. Come in, X-ray Delta 3.
I am returning to station from incident in Roman Road. Lab on board, Detective Inspector Adams and Detective Sergeant Collier. Over.
Thank you, X-ray Delta 3. Over and out.
What the hell? Alarm, Sergeant. Bennington's Bank, Market Street.
Denton Control to all units. Alarm call. Bennington's Bank, Market Street. Who's in vicinity? Over.
Hello, Control. Golf Bravo 2. I'm in Eagle Lane. Proceeding immediately to Market Street.
Thank you, Golf Bravo 2.
Denton Police? Yes, sir. Car's on the way. Can we have some details?
Yeah, hold on.
Sarge, manager of Bennington Bank on the phone. Two men, stocking masks, mid-20s.
Two men, stocking masks, mid-20s, denims, both armed. One with a shotgun, one with a revolver. Made off in red Ford Escort. Registration number believed to be WHE, Whiskey Hotel Echo, or WHF, Whiskey Hotel Foxtrot, 9-something-something, 8 or 5.
No, any permutation of 8 from 24. Stem! Tell Control.
X-ray Delta 3 to Control. Red Ford Escort registration number. Whiskey Hotel Foxtrot. A 9-er, 3-er, 5-er, 8-er. Two passengers proceeding north towards Bellbridge. We are in pursuit. Over.
Message acknowledged, X-ray Delta 3. We'll send assistance. And would remind you that the suspects are armed.
Thank you, Control. The suspects turning
right at Hayford Junction.
Don Milner.
Take over, Harding. Sir. Yes, sir?
I've just heard about the armed robbery. What's the position?
X-ray Delta in hot pursuit, sir. They've got Mr. Adams and Mr. Collier with them.
Well, how much did they get away with?
Nothing, sir, as far as I know. A cashier set off the alarm and they ran for it.
Anyone hurt?
A woman customer chucked a milk bottle at one of them. Caught him in the head.
Do any damage?
Lots of blood and broken glass on the floor, sir. So one of them could have a nasty headache.
X-ray Delta 3 to Control. Come in, please. Urgent.
Sir? Excuse me, sir. Coming. Come in, X-ray Delta 3.
Come in, X-ray Delta 3.
We are closing in on suspect vehicle. Approaching main Denton roundabout. Would appreciate...
It's on the body!
Look out!
It seemed impossible that anyone could get out of that mangled wreckage alive. The police observer and Detective Sergeant Collier were dragged out unconscious, arms, legs and ribs broken. Inspector Adams had severe internal injuries and a fractured skull. It took the fire brigade over an hour to cut the driver free of the wreckage. The doctors gave him very little chance. The Ford Escort, of course, got clean away. I was sent to the bank with Detective Inspector Hackman to get a description of the two men.
It all happened so quickly.
I appreciate that, madam. But you must have noticed something about them. I mean, was their hair long? Short? Were they clean-shaven?
I've told you everything I've remembered, Inspector. It was terrifying. They wore those stocking things. It distorted their faces. Oh, The one with the gun.
Oh, the shotgun?
No, the other one. The one the lady threw the bottle at. I think he wore a ring.
Oh, good. Now, what sort of ring?
Sort of silver. Quite big.
A signet ring?
It could have been. I don't know.
Which hand, then? Left or right?
I don't know. It's right, I think. I'm sorry. All happened so quickly.
Thank you, madam. Kilburn, sir.
Well, you should think of anything else, madam.
Yes, of course.
Now, any of your witnesses mention a signet ring, Kilburn?
No, sir. Shall I ask them?
Don't be more stupid than you can help, Constable. If you ask them, they'll all remember a ring, whether he was wearing one or not.
I should have mentioned that if Mr. Hackman didn't like you, he didn't like you. And he certainly didn't like me. The abandoned Ford Escort turned up in a side road half an hour later.
Forensic finished with it, Gordon?
Yeah, for the time being, sir. Oh, but don't touch the dashboard. They've lifted some prints. And mind the blood.
Blood?
Yeah, it's on the headrest. It's probably where the old dear christened him with a milk bottle.
Oh, that reminds me. Kilburn.
Sir?
Get control to contact all hospitals, doctors and chemists in the area. Anyone requesting treatment for a head wound, I want to know.
Right.
Now, Constable. Now. When did you think I meant? Next bloody week.
Right, sir.
Now, do we know whose car this is?
Yes, sir. It was reported stolen from a house in Haywood's Crescent early this morning. It belongs to a Mrs. Lily Gregson.
Married?
Yeah, well, divorced, sir.
Check her out. See if she's got any tearaway boyfriends.
She's over 70, sir.
We'll check her out anyway, sir. Never know your luck. Oh, I'm looking for an assistant. You interested, Gordon?
I thought Kilburn was your assistant, sir.
He was. But he's got a surprise coming.
I wasn't the only one to have a surprise coming. The superintendent had one up his sleeve for Mr. Hackman.
Detective Sergeant Slade? No, sir. No way. He's trouble. There's no way I'm having him back.
Two armed men on the loose. Four police officers in the hospital. We need extra help.
Yeah, but not him.
He knows the area. He gets results.
By using his fists. And he'll start raking up that other business.
I'll make certain he doesn't. He'll only be for a few days. You'll hardly see him. You'll be in court in the Anderson trial. As soon as you're back, he goes.
I don't like it, sir.
Well, quite frankly, neither do I. I fought it tooth and nail, but County insisted. They're breathing down our necks on this one, Inspector. They want results. If we don't get them, we're in trouble.
Police? No, I think it's with the superintendent. I'll put you through.
Who is this bloke, Slade, Sarge? Replacement from County.
He's not a bloke, he's a detective sergeant.
He used to work here, didn't he, Sarge?
A couple of years ago, yes.
Until they demoted him and kicked him out.
Demoted him?
From inspector to sergeant.
They didn't kick him out. He was transferred.
Transferred from here?
That's not a punishment, that's a reward.
Mr. Hackman's been shouting at you again.
He treats me like an idiot.
He's a good judge of character. I'll get on with your work, you two.
Why did they kick him out, Sergeant?
Had a fight with Mr. Hackman and half killed him.
You talk too much.
Is that really what happened?
Yes, now let it drop. Mr. Hackman's coming.
Don't look very happy, does he?
Sergeant Milner, have you heard who we're having as temporary replacement?
Yes, sir. We were just discussing it. Quite a surprise.
Surprise? Bloody madness. Stark bloody madness.
Inspector.
Now, what is it now?
Forensic have identified the fingerprints on the Ford Escort, sir. Dear old Harry Rawlings.
Ah, Harry Rawlings.
Yes, sir.
Now, this could be the break we're looking for.
He's got form as long as you are. Robbery, breaking and entering. Yes, we could get this tied up tonight.
The inspector was taking no chances. If Harry Rawlings was armed, we were going to have police marksmen surrounding the house. Spotlights, loud hailers in case of a siege. There was one thing he didn't intend to take with him, though.
Just going, Sergeant.
Shall we go in my car, sir?
No, Constable, you won't be coming. You're no longer with me. Sergeant Milner will explain. Come on, Gordon, sir.
What's all this, then, Sarge?
Sorry, Kilburn. I should have mentioned it earlier. Nothing against you, but Mr. Hackman feels he needs a more experienced assistant.
So what am I supposed to have done wrong?
Nothing. You just haven't got the experience.
Then how the hell am I going to get the experience?
You can keep your voice down for a start. There's no point in getting upset. We all know what Mr. Hackman is like.
I want to see the superintendent.
To do you no good. I'll take a tip from someone who knows. Let it drop.
But I couldn't let it drop. I was fuming. And now I was looking forward to the arrival of Detective Sergeant Slade. Anyone who had half killed Mr. Hackman just had to be my folk hero. It was nearly midnight before he arrived.
Yes, madam. We've circulated a description. If anyone brings it in, we'll let you know. Sounds a real right cow, no wonder a dog ran away.
Sarge, this fight that Mr. Slade had with Inspector Hackman, what was it about?
It was about nothing. Now get on with your work.
There must have been a reason.
You need a reason to smack Mr. Hackman on the nose.
What was it all about then, Sarge?
All right. I suppose I'll get no peace until I do tell you. Bill Slade had a daughter, 17 years old. She was killed. Knocked down by a hit and run. No witnesses. The driver was never traced. Hackman was in charge of the investigation.
And?
Slade made up his mind that there were irregularities. That Hackman knew who the driver was, but had accepted a bribe to keep his mouth shut.
Accepting bribes? I wouldn't put that past Hackman.
Mr. Hackman to you. And don't let me hear that sort of talk. He's your superior officer, and there was absolutely no proof.
Mr. Hackman would have been too clever for that.
I'm warning you, Harding. Your mouth is going to get you into serious trouble one of these days. Now let the entire matter drop.
Shot? Anyone serving in here?
Who the hell do you think? Bill Slade!
Has the man no shame? Returning to the scene of his former downfall? Why aren't the flags out? He knew I was coming.
We didn't expect you till the morning.
That explains it. Yeah, it's good to be back in the old place. Whew, same old smells. Furniture polish, disinfectant, and the hint of something nasty from the drunk cell. Talking of something nasty, where's Hackman?
Out picking up a suspect.
Oh, I bet he was overjoyed at the news of my return.
I've seen him looking happier. Forget it was funeral, though. You won't know these two layabouts. P.C. Harding.
Yes.
And Detective Constable Kilburn.
Yes,
he'll be your assistant.
Drew the short straw, did you, Kilburn? Well, what office have I got?
Small one at the end of the corridor. I'll show you.
I'll say it's small. Be a broom cupboard. It must be somewhere else.
I was told to put you as far away from Mr. Hackman as possible.
Why, does he smell of something? You can have that desk, Kilburn.
Right.
Old files still kept in the storeroom, Sergeant.
Your daughter's file has been moved to the confidential record room. Mr. Hackman's orders.
Who keeps the keys?
I do. You're not having them.
Kilburn, I've been looking...
Bill Slade. I expect people to knock before they come into my office, Hackman.
Inspector Hackman. Sergeant. Don't get up.
I had no intention of doing so.
Right. If you two would leave us.
Yes, sir.
Now, Slade. I didn't want you here. You're trouble. That's one thing I can do without. But while you're here, you will treat me with respect. You understand?
Why has my daughter's file been moved to confidential record?
I have no intention of discussing my reasons. That case is done, over and finished with.
Have you spent all the bribe money?
Repeat that slander in anyone else's hearing, and you'll not only be out of the division, you'll be out of the force. And don't get too settled in here. You're going back tomorrow.
Am I?
Oh, yes. I brought in one of the bank bandits, and when he's coughed, I'll get the other. So I'm afraid you've had a wasted journey. If I don't see you again, goodbye, Sergeant.
Good riddance. Yeah?
What happened?
You come to sweep up the broken teeth, forget it. I exercised restraint and kept my hands in my pockets. Who's this suspect he's arrested?
Harry Rawlings.
Harry Rawlings? Wouldn't have thought robbing banks for shooters was his style.
His fingerprints are on the getaway car. Stocking mask was found in his house, and he can't provide an alibi.
Hmm. What time are the trains back tomorrow?
Sarge?
Knock before you come in here, Constable. I don't want you picking up Mr. Hackman's bad habits. What is it?
I've got Mr. George Tyson on the phone.
The MP for Denton? What's he want?
Wouldn't say. He asked for Mr. Hackman. I told him he wasn't available, so he said he wanted to speak to a senior police officer.
And he's going to be unlucky. This phone?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
My name is Tyson. I'm MP for the Denton constituency.
Yes, sir. I know who you are.
Good. I want a senior and experienced police officer at my house right away.
Would you mind telling me what it's all about, Mr. Tyson?
Not over the phone. I want this treated with the utmost confidence. And will you please use the back entrance? It's vital no one sees you. Is that understood?
Are you sure this is the house?
Trust me, Kilburn. Trust me.
Who is it?
Police.
Anyone see you?
A couple of cows and a sheep. We came over the fields.
Good. Warrant card.
Yeah.
Detective Sergeant Slade.
Slade? That's right, sir.
I thought you'd left, Denton.
Back for a few days, sir. Special guest appearance. My colleague is Detective Constable Kilburn.
I'd have thought an MP would have warranted someone higher up the scale than a sergeant and a constable.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning, sir. The choice is rather limited. Are we going to conduct our business in the passage?
In here. Jen, it's the police.
You don't care, do you? You don't care what they do to us.
Of course I care, but I was elected on a law and order ticket and I don't give way to threats. Anyway, no one could have seen them. They came in the back way. Sit down, Sergeant.
I'd like to know what all this is about.
It's about our son, Keith. He's in serious trouble.
Well, that's nothing new.
He's been kidnapped.
Oh, yeah?
Are you doubting us, Sergeant?
I've had previous experience of yours, son, sir. So let's just say I'm slightly skeptical.
Well, perhaps you won't be skeptical when you hear this.
What is it?
A tape recording of a phone call I received about half an hour ago.
I don't want to hear it again.
Well, then go and make some coffee or something.
You won't be happy until he's dead, will you?
Sorry about that.
That's all right, sir. Do you tape all telephone calls?
Yes, I find it pays. I think it starts here.
2743. Mr. Tyson. Mr. George Tyson, the MP.
Yes, who is this?
Don't ask questions, just listen. We've got your son.
What? Who are you?
I said listen. We've got him. We've not heard him too much yet. If you want him back alive, get £10,000 in used, unmarked notes from your bank. Then put an ad in the Denton Echo personal column. All is ready, George. When we see the ad, we'll contact you again. Is that understood?
How do I know you've got him?
Here's a minute. I'll bring him over here. It's your daddy, Keith. He wants to speak to you.
Dad?
Keith, what's happened? What have I done to you?
Dad, you've got to do what they say. For God's sake, do what they say. Ah! No, please!
I've got something.
Oh!
About the police.
If you tell the police, Dad, they'd kill me. They'd do it, Dad. You've got to believe me. They'll do it.
10,000. Use notes. Add in paper and no police.
Hello? Hello? Hello, are you there?
Well, Sergeant?
Sounds genuine enough, sir. But so did those fake bomb calls he made 2 years ago. It took a hell of a lot of people in. I can never understand why the charges were suddenly dropped.
He was only 17.
Oh, was that the reason? You sure he's not hiding in the house somewhere, laughing his head off at us?
If he is, I'll wring his neck.
Here you are, Constable. There's an incentive for you. Take a look round.
I looked everywhere anyone could possibly hide. He wasn't in the house. We then began asking questions. A slow and difficult business, as Mrs. Tyson was refusing to cooperate. We managed to glean that 19-year-old Keith, a student at Denton College, had been at home all day, studying for an exam.
Studying? Playing his records full blast, more like.
He was studying. You weren't here, you wouldn't know.
What time did he leave the house, Mrs. Tyson? Mrs. Tyson? Mrs. Tyson?
Only questions. They won't bring him back. Just go, Sergeant. Get out of here and go.
He left around about 7:30, she told me.
How did he leave? On foot?
In his car. A light blue 1982 Mini with personalized number plates. KT001. A birthday present from his mother.
Well, there's not much more we can do tonight, sir. We'll be back tomorrow when your wife's feeling better.
But you're going to do something.
It's a bit late to start knocking on doors. We'll circulate details of his car. Someone might spot it. But if he should come back in the meantime, grinning all over his face, you will let us know, won't you? Come on, Constable.
Yes, sir.
The sergeant still didn't think the kidnapping was genuine. I did. I was sure it was. As we drove back, I wondered how my old boss, Mr. Hackman, was getting on with his suspect.
My patience is wearing bloody thin, Rawlings. We've got you. We've got you cold. No alibi, stocking, mask, your fingerprints all over the damn car.
Well, I don't know how they got there.
I do. From your dirty little hands when you drove away from the bank. How many more times? I was nowhere near Bennington's flaming bank. I was indoors all the time.
Ah, but you can't prove it.
I don't have to prove it. And it's up to you to prove I wasn't.
Don't come that smart stuff with me, Rawlings. 4 policemen in the hospital, one of them on the critical list.
If he dies, it's murder. You needn't say another word. I've got everything on you I need to make a murder charge stick. But there were two of you. And I want your accomplice as well. Give me his name, and I'm willing to accept it was him who was firing at the police car, not you. Well, my patience is wearing bloody thin, Roaring.
There was no accomplice. I was indoors at the time. I never went anywhere near that bank. And I want a solicitor.
By the time we got back to the station, Inspector Hackman had left for home.
Did he get a confession?
No.
He's leaving Rawlins to stew overnight.
I think I'll go and have a word with him.
Oh, no, you won't. He's to see no one. Besides, if Mr. Hackman knew you'd been questioning his number one suspect... Bill, I said no.
Hello, Harry.
Oh, Mr. Slade. I thought they'd moved you on.
They could manage without me.
Well, my son, you've got yourself in a real right mess, haven't you?
He's framing me, Mr. Slade. Framing me.
Come off it, Harry. It's only bad policemen who do things like that. We're talking about Mr. Hackman. Fag?
Oh, yeah, please. He took mine away. Wouldn't let me have him back.
Well, there's very few perks in this job. The pressure's on him. On all of us. Four men in hospital. One very likely to die. We none of us take kindly to that, Harry.
I know nothing about him.
Of course you don't. That's why your prints were all over the car. Stocking mask in your bedroom. Housebreaking implements in your shed. No, I can see you're innocent.
So they find a housebreaking tool. It's fair enough. I'm a burglar. You know that, Mr. Slade. You've nicked me often enough. But I don't use a shooter. And I don't hold up banks in broad daylight.
Your fingerprints were inside the car.
But he says they're mine.
And he's quite right, Harry. I've seen the photographs and the forensic reports.
Well, I don't know how he did it. But he fiddled it somehow. He framed me. I mean, that stocking mask, on my word of honour, Mr. Slade, that was not in my house. He brought it with him, he planted it.
Harry.
I've only told you, Mr. Slade. I knew it'd be a waste of time telling anyone else. But we both know what Mr. Hackman's capable of.
Even if he planted that stocking. Sure as hell he didn't plant those fingerprints.
I never robbed no bank and I was never inside that car. I want a solicitor.
I want a 20-year-old nymphomaniac, Harry. But I don't pine for the unobtainable. You working?
Well, I was a toolmaker at Hinckley's, wasn't I, until he went bust.
That was 2 years ago. So what else have you been doing? Apart from housebreaking.
Well, I haven't broken into a house since you last nicked me.
Harry.
Well, if I have, I certainly haven't been caught.
So, what else do you do?
Well, anything I can get. Day here, day there. Exhaust fitting, double glazing installations, paint spraying. Well, it's nothing regular. And that's why Doris left me.
And that's why you decided to rob Bennington's bank, to get some lolly to win her back.
Oh, do me a favour, Mr. Slade. It's been sheer heaven without her. I don't want her back. And I didn't rob no bank.
Do you know, Harry? I almost believe you.
It was another 3 hours before I could get to bed. I couldn't sleep. I staggered into the station dead tired at 10 the next morning. Sergeant Slade was already there, in the superintendent's office.
You did what, Slade?
I let Rawlings go, sir. I released him.
You let him go? My prisoner, my case?
Our case, Inspector. I was brought in to cooperate with you.
Oh, and that's how you cooperate?
I let him go because we had nothing to hold him on.
Nothing? There was a mask.
One of his wife's old stockings.
Housebreaking tool?
So, he's a burglar. But he robs houses, not banks.
And the fingerprints of the car?
Oh, they were his, all right, sir. But I found out how and when they got there. Rawlings does odd jobs. From time to time, he works as replacement fitter for Denton Exhaust Services. Last week, Mrs. Gregson took her Ford Escort along for a new exhaust. Who do you think fitted it?
Rawlings?
Right in one, sir. I've got the worksheet here. Just in case there should be any doubt... That's how his prints got inside the car. So I let him go. Simple as that.
Well, you should have discussed it with Mr. Hackman first.
He wasn't here, sir. He must have left early. And I knew you wouldn't have wanted us to have held an innocent man after he'd been cleared. If the press got hold of it.
Yes, of course.
We're left with a mystery, though.
Oh?
That stocking mask. Harry Rawlings is positive it wasn't in his house until you found it, Mr. Hackman. I mean, we know he wasn't involved, so how did it get there? Harry reckons you planted it.
You know damn well I did. That was just a ploy to get him confused, to get a statement from him. I'd never have used it as evidence.
You never mentioned this earlier, Inspector. You led me to believe it was genuine evidence.
I'm sorry, sir. I overlooked it.
All right. But if this sort of deviousness has been usual practice, I'd feel much happier if you would discontinue it immediately.
Of course, sir. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm due in court.
Thank you, Slade.
My pleasure.
So, Slade, we're back to square one. No suspects, no leads, nothing. You're supposed to be the expert. What are you going to do?
We carry on rounding up and questioning our regulars. Not that it'll do us any good. I'm sure these are new boys.
We could have done that ourselves without bringing you here. What about your famous local knowledge? Your informants?
I'll ask around. They may have heard something. Trouble is, a couple of punks with guns after money. They've tried once. They're going to try again. And at the moment, I don't see how we can stop them. Anyway, I must go. I've got another case to see to.
Other cases must wait. This is priority.
Fair enough, sir. I'm sure Mr. Tyson will understand. Eventually.
Tyson? RMP? Well, of course. Get over there right away. 10 o'clock. No wonder you bothered to turn up at all.
Sorry, sir. One of your constituents was shot yesterday. Had to give his case a few minutes of my time. I take it Master Keith hasn't returned to the fold?
No, of course he hasn't. He's been kidnapped.
I take it all your inquiries have come to naught?
His college friends don't know where he is. No one's seen his car.
So what's the next move?
The next move? I'd have thought that was obvious. You do what they say. Get the money. Pay them.
I don't kowtow to blackmail.
You'd kowtow fast enough if it was your life that was in danger.
Your wife's right, sir. Go along with him. Get the money. Put the ad in.
What the hell's the point of calling the police in, then?
Draw out the money and let us mark the notes.
No.
It's a special dime, Mrs. Tyson. The kidnappers won't notice a thing.
Our technical boys can slip a radio homing device in the money bag. We'll be able to pinpoint its exact location.
All right. I'll do what you say.
Good. Now, let's get down to basics. When Keith went out last night, Mrs. Tyson, did he say where he was going?
No. Not last night.
Or any other damn night. Comes and goes as he pleases. Uses the house as a hotel.
Did you notice in which direction he drove off, Mrs. Tyson?
No, I didn't see. I was in here. I heard the front door slam as he left, that's all.
So we're not even certain he went off in his car?
Well, he goes everywhere by car.
Yeah, too damn lazy to walk.
Where does he carriage it?
The brick lock-up around the corner.
Check it out, will you, Kilby?
Right, Sarge.
Have you noticed anyone lurking about the place?
Were those men in the car?
That was nothing.
Tell me about them.
Monday night, about 8:30. I happened to glance out of the window and I saw this car. It was crawling past the house. There were three men inside, all staring in. Once past the house, it picked up speed and roared off. But 5 minutes later, it was back again. The men staring in. They had such vicious faces. I was alone in the house. I was terrified.
You've been watching too much television. They were probably looking for a house number.
What sort of car was it?
Big, flashy, dark-coloured.
Can you describe any of the men?
No. They just looked like thugs.
Sound like double-glazing salesmen doing a recce. Still, could be important.
Sergeant, got a minute?
Excuse me. So what? You found something?
In the lock-up. You'd better come and see for yourself. I didn't have to force the lock. Someone had already done it.
Yeah. More brute force than skill. Open it up. So he didn't take his car last night. Unless he drove it back afterwards.
Well, that depends when the damage was done.
Damage?
Well, the tyres.
Flat as a pancake. That's been done with a knife.
So the seats. Look, slashed to ribbons. And the windscreen.
Someone's belted that with a hammer. Can we have some light?
Right, if I can find it. Ah.
That's better. What's that on the windscreen?
Well, it looks like blood.
Yeah. Don't like this, Kilburn. I don't like this one little bit. There's more blood over there on the floor. It's been leaking from this cupboard. Find something to open it.
I forced open the door. Inside, a huddled shape covered with blood-stained sacking. Slade pushed me back and slowly and carefully removed the covering.
It's a dog. An Alsatian.
Is it dead?
Of course it's dead. Head's been smashed in. Killed it with a sledgehammer. Then smashed the car windscreen. That's how the blood got there.
Oh, it's been dead a couple of days at least.
Yeah. Get Tyson over here. But don't let his wife know what we found.
What sort of morons are we dealing with? Yes. It is Keith's dog.
When did you last see it alive?
Monday evening. We thought it had run away.
Huh?
Keith only bought it at the end of last week. Suddenly decided he wanted a guard dog. Took it everywhere with him. Even in the car. At night, he kept it in here.
And it was in here Monday night?
Yes. Yes, I heard it. We all did. Woke us up in the early hours with its damn barking. I yelled for Keith to go over and shut it up, and suddenly it stopped. Tuesday morning, he went to feed it, but it had gone. We assumed it had run off.
With the garage door locked?
Hadn't thought of that.
Did your son report its loss to the police, Mr. Tyson?
No.
What an expensive dog. He should have done.
Well, lots of things my son should have done, Constable, but didn't.
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference. The dog was dead. Someone killed it, then smashed up the car. The
car wasn't smashed up on Monday night.
Why'd you say that?
Well, I told you. My son came here Tuesday morning to feed the dog. If the car had been smashed, don't you think he'd have said?
Straight back, Sergeant.
No. I've a couple of calls to make first. Turn left at the top here. Any ideas why that car was damaged?
Well, kidnappers did it. They smash his car, so he has to walk. Then they offer him a lift, then... Well, they got him.
Well, there's more subtle ways of putting a car out of action than smashing it to pieces.
What do you reckon, then?
Try this for size. Keith Tyson owes a lot of money. He's told if he doesn't cough up, they'll put the boot in. So he buys himself a guard dog for protection. But they kill Fido and spoil the look of his motor, just to show they mean business. He knew who'd done it, but was too scared to go to the police.
We don't know he owed anyone money.
No, but we can find out. Pull up by that White House.
Oh, right.
That's where I used to live. When we divorced, my ex-wife took it as her share of the loot. She still lives there, with a new husband. That room up there used to be my daughter's room. I won't be long.
Yes?
Hello, Betty.
What do you want?
I've been transferred back for a couple of days. Thought I'd say hello.
Well, you've said it. Now go.
Hold on. How are you?
I'm fine. Marvellous. Never been better.
Good. Can I come in?
No.
How's David?
David's fine. I'm fine. We're both fine. He comes home regularly. He takes me out occasionally. He even talks to me. Actually, listens to me.
All the things I didn't do?
Yeah. That job, first and last with you. Never mind your wife. Never mind your daughter.
That's not fair.
It may not be fair, but it's true. When she was killed, where were you when I needed you?
You know where I was. Out trying to find a bastard who killed her. Well, I've got to find it, Betty. That I promise you. If it's the last thing I do, for her sake, I'm going to find it.
For her sake. It's a pity you didn't show such concern for your daughter when she was still alive.
What do you mean?
Now, do you think you could just please go?
Where to, Sarge?
Anywhere you damn well like. What the hell did I hope to achieve by going to see her? She's never forgiven me for Sally's death.
Do you want to talk about it?
Why not? I've got a photo somewhere. There. Taken on her 17th birthday. Just 2 days before it happened.
Huh? Yeah, lovely looking kid.
Yeah. There was a film she wanted to see.
I was going to take her. My wife was away at her sister's. The last minute, something broke on a case I was working on, and I had to get back to the station. I didn't like disappointing Sally after I promised, but it was one of those things. She said she'd see the film on her own.
Wasn't there a boyfriend she could go with?
No. She was a quiet girl. Young for her age. Anyway, I dropped her off outside the Odeon at 8 o'clock. She waved me goodbye. It was the last time I saw her alive. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
I was out most of the night on a stakeout. Didn't get back to the station till past 2 in the morning. Inspector Hackman was waiting for me. I was surprised to see him. It was his off-duty night. He was all tarted up in evening dress. I started to make some crack when I saw his face. Tell me Sally was dead. Knocked down and killed. Outside the Blue Diamond.
The Blue Diamond?
Yeah, sleazy nightclub and gambling house on the outskirts of Denton.
Yeah, I know that. But what was she doing there? Well, it's hardly the sort of place a 17-year-old would go to.
I don't know.
How did Mr. Hackman come to be in charge of a hit and run? Shouldn't it have been a job for traffic?
He was in the club at the time. He took charge.
And the hit-and-run driver was never traced?
If you believe Hackman, no. But I don't believe him.
Oh?
A couple of days later, I had a phone call. One of my informants. He said he was surprised to read in the paper that the driver never stopped. He said he was outside the club minutes after the accident. A big, expensive car was slewed across the road. Sally's body near it, covered by a sheet. Hackman had the car door open, was talking to the driver. My informant said the bloke looked half cut. He said money appeared to change hands.
Did you tackle Mr. Hackman?
Too bloody true I did. He denied it. Said my informant had a grudge against him. The funny thing is, suddenly my informant went missing. Turned up a couple of days later with his face all bruised. Withdrew his story completely. Said he'd made it up to get Mr. Hackman into trouble.
Which could well have been true.
No. He'd been got at to keep his mouth shut.
By Mr. Hackman?
Yeah. Driver of that car was someone special. Someone important. Blind, drunk, and killed a 17-year-old. Must have paid a packet to Hackman to hush all that up.
There's a hell of a lot of accusation there, Sarge, and a complete absence of proof.
Let's just say that I don't handicap myself by starting from the supposition that Hackman is an honest cop. Seen his house? Bloody palace. Ever wondered how he could afford the mortgage on an inspector's salary?
I thought his wife had money.
You believe that, you'll believe anything. He'd take dropsy, left, right and centre. Keith Tyson wasn't charged for those bomb hoaxes. Everyone screaming for his blood, but the charges were dropped. Guess whose case it was?
Mr. Hackman's?
Who else? Still, I don't want to get you involved in all this. Hey, feel like a drink?
I wouldn't say no.
We'll combine business with pleasure. There's someone I want to see in this little pub I used to go to. Nice, quiet and peaceful place. You'll love it.
Nice, quiet and peaceful, did you say, Sarge?
It's changed. Bitter, do you?
All right, fine, thanks.
Barman? Oi, barman! 2 pints of bitter, please.
All right, all right. I've only got one pair of hands.
Mr. Slade! Well, there must be 2 years. Where have you been?
Standing here trying to get served. What's happened to this place? It's been nice, quiet and miserable.
New landlord, new ideas.
Give the punters strippers to watch and they don't notice how rotten the beer is. 2 bitters, was it?
Please. Here, Charlie. I'm looking for Eddie Coker.
Eddie? No, I haven't seen him today. Most unusual for him. Here we are. 2 bitters.
Tart. What do I owe you?
On the house.
Oh, you're a gentleman, Charlie. Reckon you could be even more of one and ask around about Eddie. Most important that I speak to him.
Well, hold on. I'll ask the other barman. He knows Eddie. Who is this Eddie Coker?
bloke I was telling you about.
Oh, your informant, the one who saw the driver?
Yeah. I called on him last night. His landlady said he'd suddenly packed a case and got the hell out of there with no forwarding address. It's almost as if he knew I was back.
Coincidence, Sarge. How could he have known?
Mr. Slade?
Hmm?
Eddie was in here last night. But your Mr. Ackman came in and spoke to him. They left together.
Thanks, Charlie. Still a coincidence, Kilburn?
I don't know.
Drink up and we'll... Yeah, hold on. Someone over there who could help us. Yeah, grab your drink. Come on.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Listen to us. That's the gentleman would move up.
Yeah. Who are you pushing?
Good Lord. Can't be.
It's him.
Arnold Porter.
Oh, no. What are you doing back?
Return engagement by popular demand. Nice to see you, Arnold.
To see you, nice. Must you sit here, Mr. Slade? People can see us.
I'm not proud. To me, you're still one of God's creatures. My beer-drinking chum is Detective Constable Kilburn. Mr. Kilburn, Arnold Porter.
Hello.
He's a copper's narc.
Not anymore, I'm not. I've got to be going. Ow!
Oh, sorry, Arnold. Was that your foot? What do you know about this bank job?
What bank job? Ow!
Oh, dear. I didn't kick the same spot, did I? I get more and more clumsy as I get older. You know darn well what bank job, Arnold.
Not a whisper, Mr. Slade. Word is they're new boys. None of our regulars.
I'm not interested in who they aren't. I want to know who they are.
Don't think I can help you, Mr. Slade?
I'm sure you can. What are you drinking?
Oh, it's pretty civil of you. Inspector?
Sergeant.
Miscarriage of justice, that was. I've always said so. I'll have a large whiskey.
Half a bitter for my friend, Charlie.
Bitter? I said whiskey. A large one.
Did you hear him say large whiskey, Constable?
Sounded like a small bitter to me, Sarge.
Mm, there you are, Arnold. And policemen never lie. Unless they're on licensed premises. I want information on that bank job, Arnold. Ask around, let me know.
It won't be any good.
I'll be generous. I might even restrain myself from reopening the file on that Kirby Street warehouse job.
I'll do what I can.
Here we are. One half a bitter. Pay the man, would you, Arnold? I seem to have left my wallet in my other suit. '97, '98, '99, '100 bung this with the others, Kilburn.
There's no need to count it. It's checked at the bank.
Banks have been known to make mistakes, Mr. Tyson. And I'm the one who's got a sign for it.
Mr. Tyson, heard you were here. Everything all right, sir?
Yes, Superintendent. I've brought the ransom money. I'm waiting while it's checked.
Forget it, Ganson. Mr. Tyson's a very busy man. Sorry I couldn't give you Mr. Hackman. He's in court.
Damn nuisance. Still, there's one thing perhaps you could do for me.
Name it.
Once my son is back safe and sound, it wouldn't do any harm to let the press know that, in spite of my fears and concern for his safety, I cooperated up to the hilt with the police. It might sound better if it came from you rather than me.
I'll see to it personally. Will you be much longer, sir?
No, sir. I've finished. Here's your receipt, Mr. Tyson. You'll get the money back as soon as forensics have finished with it.
Thank you.
One thing, sir. Does your son gamble?
Why on earth do you ask that?
Just a vague line of inquiry. Probably not important. Does he?
He did. About a year ago. Ran up debts of nearly £500, which I had to pay. I made it clear that if he gambled again, I'd pull him out of college and put him into a job. That, I assure you, put a stop to it.
Who did he bet with when he was gambling?
Sammy Levin.
What?
Do you know him?
Oh, we know him, sir. Haven't been able to put him inside yet, but we're trying very hard. Thank you, sir.
Allow me to show you out, Mr. Tyson. Now, any worries, just give me a ring. Any time.
I'll get this over to forensic then, Sarge.
Yeah. Don't stop at any sweet shops on the way. I've signed for that little lot. Slade?
It's me, Mr. Slade. Arnold Porter. Those boys with the guns. I've got something for you.
Then let's have it.
Not over the phone. And it'll cost you $2,000.
Where? When?
Arthur's Transport Cafe. Corner table.
All right, then, Arnold. What's all this Burgess and McLean stuff?
Well, it's best we're not seen together. People with guns play rough. Got the money?
In my pocket.
Well, it's his.
What sort of a world is it where the crooks don't trust the police? You just have to take my word. Now,
Let's hear what you've got.
Two blokes, mid-20s. One wearing a signet ring, the other with sticking plaster down his face. Interested?
Yeah. Which side of his face?
Left. Whisper is they've been buying ammo.
Caliber?
2-2. And there's a buzz going around that they're pulling off another job tonight. And they're taking their shooters with them.
Where?
That's where you'll get free. The rest comes expensive.
So does a new set of front teeth.
Oh, work.
I said where, Arnold?
That big new hypermarket just outside the town.
Henderson's?
Yes. Nice late night shopping tonight, and there should be over 100,000 in the safe, and only a couple of night watchmen.
What time are they going to pull it?
Oh, blimey, Mr. Slade, you want jam on it. I've no idea.
Is that it?
Isn't that enough?
How'd you get hold of this?
From a reliable source, Mr. Slade. An expensive source. So where's the $2,000?
Here.
A fiver? What the hell's this?
If your information's genuine, you'll get the rest tomorrow. If it's not, you better not let me find you.
Henderson's hypermarket? That's way out in the wild.
I know, sir. I want to stake it out.
How many men would you need?
I'll need every available man we've got, sir. 8 cars, police marksmen, the lot. I've taken a look at that hypermarket. Junction of 4 roads. God knows how many entrances. They could even come in over the top. To be safe, we'll even need to bring in extra men from outside.
This would mean leaving the rest of Denton absolutely unpoliced.
I know, sir.
Can I have your assurance that the information is genuine?
No, sir. He's lied to me in the past. He could well be lying now. But he mentioned 3 things which only we know about and which we haven't released to the press. The signet ring, the injury to the face, and that the ammo is 2-2.
He could have found it out some other way. People talk, you know.
Do I go ahead? Do I get all the men I want?
Have you any idea what this will cost? It's all overtime. Surely you can manage with fewer men.
Against 2 armed bandits? No, sir.
We don't even know if the information's genuine.
We've got to take the chance that it is.
We? I'm the one taking the chance. I'm the one who's got to authorize all of this. All right. On your insistence, I agree. But if it all blows up in your face, don't expect me to back you.
That's the last thing I'd expect, sir.
Where are we going?
Sammy Levin's bedding shop.
You can always phone your bets through, Sarge.
I'm not in the mood for unfunny jokes.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. When we get to Sammy's place, park round the corner. Keep your hand on your wallet. He's a bigger crook than Mr. Hackman. Mr. Levin in his office, is he?
Yes, but... Hey, you can't go through there. It's private. Oi, come back!
Hello, Sammy.
Mr. Slade.
Oh, I'll try to stop them, Mr. Levin. Now, come on.
No,
out.
It's all right. It's all right. The inspector and I are old friends. Freddy, I don't want to be disturbed.
All right.
Freddy, I don't want any interruptions. You understand?
Perfectly, Mr. Levin.
Well, this is nice, Inspector. Sit down, and your colleague. Here, cigar.
I'm only a sergeant, Sammy. Sergeants don't smoke cigars. Gives them ideas about their station.
Cigarette, then, eh? Help yourself. Go on, take some for later.
One's enough, thanks.
Kilburn?
Oh, tough.
So, to what do I owe the pleasure?
You want to open an account? I could do it very discreetly.
Our superiors don't like us wasting our bribe money on gambling, Sammy. I'm here on official business.
Official business?
What's that? You've gone white as a sheet. Got one of your crooked deals on?
Such a straight face, you'd swear he means it. Now, how can I help you?
You've got a client called Keith Tyson.
The MP's son, nice boy.
He's not a nice boy, Sammy. He's a spoilt, lazy, loudmouth yob.
If you say so. I like him. Do me something.
Is he a client of yours?
Oh, he has the odd bet.
Does he win?
Would I say I liked him if he won? He's a born loser. Anyone want a drink?
No. When he loses, does he pay his debts?
Eventually. Sometimes I have to jog his memory.
What's that mean? You put a horse's head in his bed, break his arm?
What a wonderful thing is a sense of humour. I just nudge him, remind him of his responsibilities.
Someone killed his dog, smashed up his car.
Oh, that's terrible.
Was it you?
Well, for a lousy £20, that's all he owes me. He gambles at the Blue Diamond. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, I suggest you try there. Smashing cars, killing Alsatians. That's their style, not mine.
I never said it was an Alsatian.
You don't have to say. I've seen it in his car. Don't want to be disturbed.
Mr. Levin,
I said I didn't want to be
Constable
disturbed.
Constable Harding.
Oh, sorry. Didn't know anyone was here.
You looking for me, lad?
No, Sarge, it's nothing. Sorry.
What's he doing here?
He's your customer. He has the odd bet.
The betting shop's out there.
I deal with him personally. A little favour. Your people don't take kindly to police in betting shops.
I don't take kindly to young cops mixing with crooks like you. Discourage him.
Of course, Mr. Slade. You know me. Always like to keep on the right side of the law.
Our next call should have been the Blue Diamond, but on the way there, control diverted us to a large transport cafe to interview a driver whose lorry had been stolen from the cafe car park. There were plenty of other lorries the thieves could have taken, but they seemed to have deliberately picked out this one. Rather strange, as the load was of hardly any value. It contained 10 tons of sand for a builder's merchant. It wasn't until much later that we realised the significance.
10 tons of flaming sand, Sergeant? Is that what I'm supposed to spend my time on?
I'm sorry, Bill, but they can't all be the great train robbery. Anyway, I have no one else to send. We've had an epidemic of lorry pinching. Delta 2 were out at Harlan's garage. Driver coshed in the gents and his lorry hijacked.
What was it carrying? Cement?
Actually, it was bales of hay.
Bales? Hay and sand? There must be some deep significance in that. But I'm damned if I can see it.
Perhaps someone's breeding seahorses, Sergeant.
I can do with less of that, thank you, Constable.
Sorry.
Keep an eye on that one, Tom. He gambles.
I know.
Then put a stop to it.
It's difficult. He puts bets on for Mr. Hackman as well.
He can't win. Everything laid on for tonight?
Yes, every available man.
You've staggered the times of arrival. I don't want them all turning up at the hypermarket at once, like crowds at a football match.
We have done this sort of thing before, you know. Any joy at Sammy's?
No. He reckons Keith Tyson did his gambling at the Blue Diamond.
You're not going there yourself, are you?
Why shouldn't I? Because of my daughter, you mean?
Send someone else. Why stir up bad memories?
A whole rotten town's a bad memory. Why shouldn't I go there? Do you know something?
There's nothing to know. A straightforward case of hit and run.
Then why did Hackman move Eddie Coco away from his digs?
Superintendent's orders. Didn't want you to be sidetracked from the job in hand.
And why is the file locked away in confidential records? Why shouldn't I see it, if there's nothing to hide?
Same reason, I expect.
I want to borrow the key, Tom.
No.
Quarter of an hour. 10 minutes. No one will ever know. I've got to see that file.
No way, Bill. I'm sorry. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm off for my tea, lad. Harding, mind the shop.
But as it happened, Sergeant Slade didn't need the key to get into confidential records. As he passed it a few minutes later, he noticed it was unlocked.
Hello?
Who's that?
Harding, what are you doing here?
Putting some stuff away for Mr. Hackman. You shouldn't be in here, Sarge.
Neither should you, Constable. Not on your own. How'd you get in?
Borrowed the key from Sergeant Milner's keyring.
Does he know?
No. I should have put these papers back yesterday, but I forgot. You won't tell on me, will you, Sarge?
As long as you don't tell on me, Constable. Now, keep watch outside. And if anyone comes, yell.
Yeah. Yes, sure, I'll tell him.
Another stolen lorry. Empty this time.
Perhaps it's the lorries they want, not the loads.
So, what was in your daughter's file?
Just straightforward details of a hit and run. Like everyone's been at pains to tell me.
You satisfied now?
Well, it was a very thin file. Almost as if some of the papers had been removed. But perhaps I've got a nasty, suspicious little mind. Gonna be up all night with this hypermarket stakeout. Let's get some sleep. Pick me up about 10.
I picked him up as ordered, but he didn't want to go directly to the stakeout. First, we had to call at the Blue Diamond.
Been here before?
Couldn't afford it.
Oop, look out.
Good evening, gentlemen. Are you all on your own? You looking for company?
Shovels.
I beg your pardon.
You heard, darling. Shovels, or I'll run you in for soliciting.
Having trouble, miss?
The heavy squad. Who are you, a pimp?
I work here, so I keep out undesirables. You members?
No. We want to see Mr. Warner.
Supposing he doesn't want to see you.
Supposing you get out of my way.
Take your hands off me.
I'm asking you to leave.
Ow!
That's obstructing a police officer and the lawful execution of his duty.
You never said you was police.
Showed him my warrant card, didn't I, Constable?
The minute we came in, Sergeant.
Wait here. I'll let Mr. Warner know.
What a pleasant surprise, Mr. Slade. I thought you'd left Denton for good.
My absence was making too many people happy, so they called me back.
Must be 2 years. Tragic. just tragic. Can I get you gentlemen a drink?
Why not? I'll have a whiskey.
Constable?
Yeah, fine. Whiskey.
Then I'll join you. Three large whiskies, Harry, from my special bottle.
Yes, Mr. Warner.
What's that bandage round your wrist, Harry?
Cut myself.
Oh. Only if it's a dog bite, you should get it cauterized. They reckon Alsatian's teeth are simply running with germs.
Don't know what you're talking about. Soda, if you want it, and ice.
Thank you, Harry. So, what can I do for you, Sergeant? You want to try your luck? I can make you both temporary members, if you like.
That wouldn't be strictly legal, would it? And talking of legalities, my colleague and I were solicited as we came in here.
Solicited? Do you know anything about this, Harry?
Well, I saw the hostess approach the gentleman. I didn't hear the conversation.
Hostess? She's Maureen Kelly. £5 a time in the back of your car. We've run her in hundreds of times.
I never would have believed it. Her references were impeccable. She goes, Harry, tonight. I'm not having her give this place a bad name. I'll see to it.
I called about something else, actually. Is Keith Tyson a member?
Yes. Why? Shouldn't he be?
Does he gamble much?
When he's got the money, which isn't very often.
I heard he owes you a bomb, and to encourage him to pay, you've smashed his car and killed his dog.
His dog! So that's the reason for all this talk about dog bites. Show him your wrist, Harry. Go on. Take the bandages off. Show him.
There. All right. So it's a cut. Perhaps you killed it before it bit you.
Mr. Slade, Keith Tyson has a £100 credit limit, a strict limit. He's not allowed to exceed it. Now I'm hardly likely to go around smashing cars for a lousy £100, now am I? Especially as his father's a member. I suggest you try Sammy Levin.
We did. He suggested we tried the other crook in the town, so we came to you. You get a good view from up here, don't you?
Good view of what? The main road?
You saw it happen, didn't you?
Yes. Terrible business. I had nightmares for a week. I just happened to glance out. She didn't give that driver a chance, Mr. Slade. Ran straight out in front of him. Almost dived under his wheels. He was shaking like a leaf afterwards.
Who was?
The driver. I thought he was going to pass out.
In your statement to Mr. Hackman, you said that the car that hit her didn't stop. So how do you know the driver was shaking like a leaf?
You're quite right, of course. Funny how the memory plays tricks. He didn't stop.
You're a bloody liar.
My word of honor.
You're choking me.
Sergeant.
You're lying. You're damn well lying.
Harry.
Leave him alone. Oh.
Sergeant. Sergeant.
Wait outside, Kelvin. I don't want you involved. The truth now, Warner. No. You saw that driver, didn't you?
No.
Who was he?
What the hell's going on?
Surprise, surprise. Mr. Hackman, all tarted up in evening dress.
My wife and I are dining here. I asked what was going on.
Your dear friend, Jack, was about to volunteer some information about the cover-up.
I was trying to explain to the sergeant that I have no knowledge of the driver of that car.
I think you better go, Sergeant.
Now, come on, Kilburn. Let's get some fresh air. There's suddenly a very nasty smell in here.
We had a job finding our car. A thin mist had turned to thick fog, which would make the stakeout at the hypermarket that much more difficult. But it did help conceal the 40-plus men we had hidden about the place. We settled down and waited.
What time is it?
3:05.
Damn fog.
Well, it's not getting any worse.
I can see someone moving on the roof.
Where? It's one of our damn marksmen. Johnson, we can see you.
Sorry, Sarge. Over.
Did Tyson's ad go in the Denton Echo?
Yeah. Want to see a copy?
No, I know what it says. What time is it?
You just asked it. 3:06 now.
Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself?
Tango 6 to Motherhead.
Come in, Tango 6.
Vehicle approaching North Road. Looks like a small van, over.
Thank you, Tango 6. Mother hen to all units. Maximum alert. Small van approaching. Over and out. Here we go, then.
Tango 6 to Mother hen.
Yes, Tango 6.
Suspect vehicle identified as garage breakdown truck. Turned off at a slip road. Over.
Thank you, Tango 6. Mother hen to all units. False alarm. Vehicle identified as breakdown truck. Over and out.
Still plenty of time for them to come.
If they come. In the meantime, Denton's an open city.
Well, that's the risk you have to take when you deploy maximum force in one location.
Did they teach you that at trading college?
Lesson number one.
I must remember that when the super throws me to the wolves tomorrow.
Control to Sergeant Slade. Come in, please. Urgent. Over.
That sounds like trouble. Slade?
Armed robbery. Johnson's Pharmaceutical Supplies. Details still coming in. Over.
We're on our way. Mother hen to Tangos 3 and 6. Armed robbery. Johnson's Pharmaceutical Supplies. Follow me. The rest of you stay here. Sergeant Crabb will take charge. Acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
I knew it. Right the other side of town. Get your foot down, Kilburn. This isn't a funeral.
It will be if I go any faster. This fog's worse.
Tangos 3 and 6. When we reach the junction, we split up. You turn right and approach from the southern access. We'll turn left, use the northern approach. Understood?
Tango 3, roger. Tango 6, roger.
Approaching the junction, Sergeant.
Get ready to... There's something in the road. Kilburn, look out!
God almighty. You all right, Sarge?
Yeah. What did we hit?
A lorry. There's two of them slewed across the road, blocking the junction. Looks as though there's been an accident.
Any sign of the drivers?
No, Sarge.
Can we get round them?
No chance. They've shed the load. A right mess. It'll take a couple of hours to clear it.
What are the loads?
Bales of hay and about 10 tons of sand. It's all over the road.
This is no accident. We've been set up.
Aye.
We've been damn well set up.
We couldn't get past, so had to backtrack and take the old Denton Road, which bypassed the junction. By the time we reached Johnson's, the robbers were well away.
Good of you to come.
We hit trouble. What happened?
Well, if you'd bloody well been here on time, nothing would have happened. We pay a bomb to have an alarm installed in the police station just to prevent this sort of thing.
All right. We know how inefficient we are. What we don't know is what happened.
Just after 3:05, a lorry comes roaring up the approach road. We expected to stop at the gates, but it doesn't.
Were the gates closed?
Of course they were closed and locked. This is an open house. But it charges at them and smashes through. All the arms go off. Three men jump out, two with pickaxe handles, one with a shotgun.
What do they look like?
Now, two look like Mickey Mouse, and one like Donald Duck. They had these kids' plastic masks on.
Clothes?
Boiler suits, blue. Anyway, they fire the shotgun in the air and yell that the first to move gets it in the face. They nip over to the loaded van, climb inside, and they're away. Couldn't have taken more than a minute. They left the lorry. It's over there if you want to see it.
We know all about it. Stolen earlier today. What'd they get away with?
Drugs. Barbiturates. Amphetamine. Morphine. Street value well in excess of £1 million.
I want a detailed list.
You've got a copy on your files. We always let you know when we're moving stuff like this so we can be sure our alarm calls are answered promptly.
Sergeant, this is Mr. Bedwell, the night mechanic. Yeah. We could be in luck. But tell the sergeant.
Well, I don't know whether they intend driving that van. They're not going to get very far. There's a... hole in the radiator, you can put your fist in. Our driver had a prank.
Oh, you were supposed to change it.
Well, I couldn't get one. The guys was going to rush a replacement round for first thing in the morning. I was going to do it then. Anyway, they won't get far before the engine seizes up.
How far?
Well, I don't know. The rad's bone dry, 5 miles, say. Perhaps less, sir.
Kilburn, get on the radio. I want everyone away from the hypermarket and out looking for that van.
Sergeant Slade, The superintendent wants you at the station.
Lord, doesn't bad news travel fast?
So... exactly what I feared had happened. While all the division are twiddling their thumbs at the hypermarket, our villains are stealing £1 million worth of drugs.
Not the same men, sir. The bank robbers were amateurs. These were professionals.
Whoever they were, we should have been able to stop them. If there's an inquiry, Slade, I shall make it absolutely clear where the blame lies.
Thank you, sir. I knew I could rely on your support. Sergeant Milner?
Yes?
Seeing as how I'm not allowed in confidential records... do you think someone could get me the Johnson's Pharmaceutical file?
Sarcasm goes right over my head. Move me along.
Tango 3's found the van, Sarge.
Yeah.
Selby Street, side turning off the main road, about 3 miles from Johnson's.
Too much to hope the load's still intact.
Yeah, all gone, except for a couple of boxes. But we've got a witness.
What?
Old boy named Perkis lives at number 4 Selby Street. Noise woke him up. Looked out of his window, saw three blokes pushing the van.
Must have broken down on the main road. Go on.
Well, according to him, one man went off, returned about half an hour later, driving a small brown pickup.
Did he get the registration number?
Well, he thinks there was a six in it, but he's not sure. Anyway, they load up the pickup and off it goes. 20 minutes later, it's back.
The same pickup?
Yeah. They load it up again, all get aboard, and drive off. But this time, they don't come back.
20 minutes to get there, offload, and get back. Yeah, chuck us that map. Now then. There's Selby Street here. 10 minutes to offload. That's 5 minutes there, 5 minutes back. Speed?
Well, not too fast. They wouldn't want to attract attention. Say 40 at the outside.
40 in 5 minutes, they travel about 3 miles.
Yeah.
So that stuff's got to be stashed away within this tight little circle here.
Well, there's not many likely places. Assuming they've got it undercover.
Undercover and lock and key. It's worth a fortune. What they want is a big, isolated, lonely house standing in its own extensive grounds. Somewhere like that.
Oxley Grange. Who lives there?
Who could afford to live in a place like that, apart from a bookmaker?
Sammy Levin.
You've named that crook in one. Come in.
The Johnson's file, Sergeant.
Ah. No, don't go, Harding. Might want to pick your brains. Get yourself a cup of tea, would you, Kilburn?
Canteen's closed.
Then go and make yourself one.
Right, yeah, will do.
Sit down. Someone's been dropping me in it, Harding.
Huh?
Yeah. Passing inside information to the opposition. Cigarette?
I don't smoke, thanks.
Do you drink?
Not much.
So, gambling's your only vice?
Ah, you mean this afternoon? I only have the odd bet. 50p's my limit.
Wouldn't have thought you'd have to sneak up to Sammy's private office just to stick a 50p bet on.
The super doesn't approve of us using the betting shops. Bad for our image.
Aha, the image. And what an untarnished image this division has. There's drugs robbery. They knew exactly what they were after. 4 loaded vans, but they went straight to the right one. They ignored the alarms because they knew we'd taken their bait. Now, where did they get their information from?
No idea, Sarge.
Haven't you? When we met in the confidential records room, what were you doing with this file? The Johnson's Pharmaceuticals file.
I told you. Mr. Hackman had asked me to put it back, but I forgot.
If I asked Mr. Hackman, would he confirm that?
Of course.
Right. Means waking him up, but let's put it to the test.
I'll tell him about you going in there for your daughter's file.
Are you threatening me, Harding? How long have you been passing stuff to Sammy Levin?
This was the only time, Sergeant. I swear it, the only time.
Tell me about it.
I owe him a lot of money. He holds my IOUs for nearly 500 quid.
5:30 in the morning, and we were outside Sammy Levin's house. Whatever Harding had told him, Slade was keeping it to himself. He just told me to come with him. And here we were, creeping like thieves through the mist towards a ground floor window.
You any good at breaking and entering?
Hey,
see how quietly you can smash that window. Yeah. Not your hand, the torch. Now, reach inside for the catch. Careful.
We ducked behind some bushes and waited. A light came on upstairs. Then another light in the room with the broken window. Slade motioned for me to follow, and we made our way to the front door.
Open up in there.
Who is it?
Police. Detective Sergeant Slade.
Hold on.
As soon as he opens up, slip inside and start looking round. I'll keep him talking.
Right.
Hello, Sammy.
Well, what do you want?
Well, my colleague and I were passing. We heard the alarm.
Oh, it's all right. They broke the window. They didn't get in.
Oh, we'd better make sure. Don't look so worried, Sammy. You're safe. The police are here. Through there, is it? After you, Constable. Ah, nice room. Mind the broken glass.
Here, what does he think he's doing? Leave those drawers alone.
Making sure nothing's been pitched, Sammy. Cut me out that damn alarm off. It's getting on my nerves.
I'll do it later.
Do it now, Sammy. It's an offence to let it ring all night, man.
The switch is downstairs. I'll do it when you've gone.
Sergeant, look what I found.
Ooh, a Mickey Mouse mask. What's this then, Sammy?
Oh, for the children.
We have parties.
Oh, you've a heart of gold, Sammy. So where's the switch for this alarm?
There's a strong room downstairs. The switch is inside.
Locked inside the strong room? So a burglar can't get to it and turn it off? That's clever. Who advised you to do that?
Your crime prevention officer.
So that's why we got details of it in our files. Lots of interesting stuff in our files, Sammy. Switch it off.
Well, wait here, then.
I'll let you go downstairs unprotected. Wouldn't dream of it. Lead the way.
You can't make me open my strong room. You haven't got a warrant.
Shall I wait here while my colleague goes and gets one?
You bastard. You know, don't you?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you on your own.
Yes, I think we should talk. Pop upstairs for a minute, will you, Kilburn?
If you say so, Sergeant.
Well, can we do a deal?
You're reading my thoughts.
1,000 quid cash. You looked inside the strong room, you saw nothing.
You wouldn't insult Mr. Hackman with a lousy 1,000. What makes you think I come so cheap?
5,000 in fivers.
Not the sort of deal I had in mind, Sammy. Police Constable Harding.
What about him?
I don't want him to go to prison.
So?
So, let me have his IOUs back. Keep your mouth shut about where you got your inside information from.
You coppers stick together, don't you?
He's young, Sammy, and he's stupid. But that's all. You used him and he let you. He's not fit to be a copper, and I'll see he resigns. But I don't want him to go to prison.
You're watching it for me.
I'll drop the bribery and corruption charge.
And will you make it easier for me with this other business?
No. Is it a deal?
10,000?
No.
Why the hell did you have to come back, Mr. Slade? All right. It's a deal.
Where's that switch?
Good Lord, Mr. Levin. What on earth have you got in there? Boxes, boxes, boxes. All labelled Johnson's Pharmaceuticals.
I have no idea how they got there. I'm not saying a word until I talk to my solicitor.
Kilburn, come down and caution the gentleman, would you?
Yes, sir. We're still holding your property. You can pick it up when you like. No, sir, we don't deliver.
Morning, Tom.
Phil.
Yes?
Super wants to see you in his office. The minute you came in, he said. You look furious. Mr. Hackman's with him.
Oh, hell.
What have you been up to?
Well, you know, I went to the Blue Diamond last night.
Yes.
Well, I had a punch-up with Warner, just as Hackman walked in.
You deliberately flouted my orders. I made it perfectly clear your daughter's case is over and done with.
Not to me, it isn't.
I'm talking, Sergeant. You weren't brought back to pursue private vendettas. You were brought back to help find two armed bandits. May I ask what progress you've made in that direction?
None, sir.
Can't hear you, Sergeant.
None, sir.
Precisely. What's the position with Warner, Inspector? Is he preferring charges?
That was his intention. I managed to talk him out of it. But he wants Slade to stay away from his club.
We can make certain of that. It's your last day at court, right?
That's right, sir.
Then it's your last day with us, Slade. It didn't work out. You return to county first thing in the morning.
We spent the next couple of hours tying up the loose ends on the drugs robbery. Until the phone rang, we hadn't given a thought to the Tyson kidnapping.
Slade? Ah, good morning, Mr. Tyson. Have they made contact?
What?
Why? I'm entitled to know why. Hello? Hello? Kilburn, get the car out.
What's happened?
That's what we're going to find out. Tyson says he's not going to cooperate anymore. He wants us off a case.
I thought I'd made myself perfectly clear. I want no more police involvement.
Get them out!
No one saw us, Mrs. Tyson. We came in the back way.
No one saw you. That's what you keep telling us, but you were seen. The kidnappers know all about you. They even know about the notes being marked.
They can't know.
Well, they damn well do. There's your bleeper. And you can forget about the marked notes. I'm changing them at the bank. They won't be used.
It's your duty to cooperate.
Our duty's to our son. Now, please, go.
Not until you tell me what brought on this sudden change of mind.
While I was out this morning, two men burst in here, manhandled my wife, threatened her with a knife, and said they knew we'd brought in the police. Oh. They knew about the marked note and the radio cleaver.
They said they'd kill Keith if we didn't do exactly what they wanted. They held a knife to my throat.
She's passed out, and I found her lying on the floor.
Can you describe them?
I'm not saying any more.
Did they leave instructions for the handing over of the ransom?
Yes.
I want to know them.
Forget it, Sergeant. I'm not discussing this any further. Now, would you kindly leave the way you came in?
How the hell did they find out about the notes from the bleeper?
Harding?
God, I hope not.
So, we drop the case?
Do we, hell? We watch that house 24 hours a day. We follow Tyson wherever he goes.
We watched Tyson. He went to the bank and changed the money, taking home £10,000 in unmarked notes. We watched and waited. He stayed indoors. It wasn't until nearly midnight that anything happened.
Can't you keep him quiet, Constable? It's nearly midnight. I ate drunks more than anything.
I ate Hackman first, drunks next. Oh, God, I'm tired. I've had about 5 hours sleep in 2 days.
Well, then why are you hanging about here? Go home to bed. You're off in the morning anyway.
Kilburn to control. Kilburn to control.
He's supposed to be off duty. Control, come in, Kilburn.
Is Mr. Slade there, Sarge? It's urgent.
I'm here. What's happening?
The payout, I think. Tyson's getting into his car. He's got the money bag with him.
Stick to him like glue and keep in touch. I'll join you as soon as I can. Over and out.
Have you gone mad? We were warned off. The super assured Tyson we'd stay away. If anything happens to his son, you'll be crucified.
Over there. That advertising hoarding. As he approached it, he slowed down, chucked out the bag, then drove straight on.
Clever stuff. This is near enough. We now wait for someone to pick it up.
Hadn't we better check the money's in there?
Too risky. Besides, it's got to be.
It could be a bluff. We're left watching a bag stuffed with old newspapers while Tyson speeds off to the real rendezvous.
You are a cheerful little soul, aren't you? Why should he bother with a bluff? He said he didn't know you were following him.
Well, I could be wrong.
All right. We'll take a look. No. Something coming.
How many of them are there?
This damn rain. I can't see. Only one, I think. Good God. Quick, before she gets back in. All right. Hold it right there.
Sergeant Slade.
Where's your manners, Constable? Take the bag from the lady.
You won't tell my husband. Oh, please, don't tell my husband.
Suppose we get in the car, Mrs. Tyson, and talk about it. Put them in the interview room. I'll be back in a minute.
Right. Come on, you two.
Sergeant, we need a doctor.
Right. That was young Keith Tyson, wasn't it?
And friend.
What's he done to his face?
Had an accident. Where's his mother?
Gone home.
What?
Inspector Hackman let her go.
Hackman?
Get out of my office.
I'll get out when I'm ready. Where's Mrs. Tyson?
I sent her home. Her son here?
Yes.
Good. I'll drive him back.
You what?
Family matter, nothing to do with us. He was in trouble with gambling debts. Too scared to go to his father, so he faked his own kidnap for the ransom money.
With his mother's help. Oh, she really took me in. All those tears. The story of the two thugs roughing her up.
Anyway, I've spoken to Mr. Tyson. He requests that we take no further action, and I've agreed.
Bet that cost him a packet.
Get out.
Don't spend it, because you're going to have to give it back. Keith Tyson is going to stand trial.
Cab?
Excuse me, Inspector. Sergeant Slade. Doctor's on his way.
Thanks.
Who's the doctor for?
Keith Tyson.
You beaten him up. You bloody fool. You always were too free with your fists.
His injuries are where the woman chucked a bottle at him in the bank.
The bank?
Yes. Keith Tyson and his student friend are our bank robbers. It was only when that failed that they decided on the fake kidnap.
I don't believe you.
He was hiding at his friend's flat. When we searched it, we found these.
Guns?
A shotgun and a .22 Ruger. The shotgun's still got a cartridge up the spout.
Well, don't point it at me. The safety catch is off.
Mrs. Tyson offered to do a deal with me. Let her son off, and she'd tell me who killed my daughter.
She didn't know what she was saying. Look, don't point that gun at me.
Wouldn't it be a tragedy if it went off accidentally? As you sent Mrs. Tyson home, you better tell me. Who killed Sally? How much did he pay you to let him go scot-free?
He'd be happier not knowing.
Would I? Try me.
All right. Yes, I did take a statement from the driver. He'd been drinking.
But even if he was stone-cold sober, there was no way he could have avoided hitting her. She ran straight under his wheels. She didn't even give him a chance. The other witnesses swore to that.
People saw it. You even had witnesses?
Warner, the Blue Diamond, and one of his sidekicks.
It was Tyson, wasn't it? Our Law and Order MP. It was him, wasn't it?
No. He was parked outside the club. Sally was in his car.
What was she doing in Tyson's car?
You really want to know?
Yes.
She picked him up.
She picked him up? Is that what the lying bastard said? Out of my way.
Where do you think you're going?
To find Tyson. To break every bone in his body.
Yes, your remedy for everything.
Sit down and listen for a change. All this swearing vengeance. How much of it is guilty conscience, eh?
What do you mean?
How well did you know Sally?
What sort of a question is that? She was my daughter, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Well, how could you know her? You were hardly ever at home. The good cop, the job came first. Your wife and your daughter, a poor second. Did you know that she was on heroin?
Sally?
Yeah. Yeah, she was pumped full of it when she ran under that car. Never knew what hit her. And how did she get the money to pay for the stuff? She was a prostitute. A 17-year-old junkie prostitute.
I don't want to hear any more.
Her beat was outside the Blue Diamond. Tyson would have been her third client that night. He'd left her in his car while he phoned his wife to say he'd been unavoidably detained. When he came back, Sally was giving herself a quick fix with the hypo. Well, this was too much even for Tyson. He yelled at her to get out. She grabbed the door handle and plunged right into the path of an oncoming car.
Go on.
Well, there's not much more. I took statements, but tore them up. I had to pull quite a few strings to make sure it didn't go any further. Too many people would have been hurt. Tyson, who'd picked up a teenage prostitute. The driver of the other car, who was well over the limit. And you.
Me?
You idolized her. You wouldn't have wanted the truth to come out in public.
You say you did this for me?
We look after our own. Didn't you look after P.C. Harding?
What?
Yes, I know about that.
I don't believe a word. Not one single word. She was my daughter. I knew her. She'd never... Not Sally. It's all a pack of lies, isn't it? It was just a straightforward hit and run.
Yes. Yes, yes. That's what it was. Ackman. What? Whip. I see. Thank you. The hospital. P.C. Roberts, the driver of the car they shot at, died 5 minutes ago. You'd better get back to your prisoners.
Yes. I'd better get back.
Denton, please. Yes, I see. And you believe he's still on the premises? No, sir, on no account go inside. You wait, then we'll send a car.
That was Cover Up by R.D. Wingfield, with Andrew Burt as Detective Constable Kilburn, David Sinclair as Detective Sergeant Slade, and David Garth as Detective Inspector Hackman. Police Superintendent Warren was played by Jack McKenzie, Police Sergeant Milner by Philip Rowlands, Police Constable Harding by Guy Holden, and Detective Constable Gordon by Steve Hodson. George Tyson by William Edel. Joan Tyson by Gwen Sherrill. Betty by Narissa Knights. Harry Rawlings by James Kerry. Bedwell by Michael McStay. Warner by Martin Reed. Arnold Porter by John Forbes Robertson. Sammy by Arnold Diamond. The Bouncer by Nicholas Courtney. And the Woman Customer in the Bank by Mia Sotirio. Other parts were played by members of the cast. We've got a missing 8-year-old boy. Cover Up was directed by David Johnston.
Right. Hello, I'd like a description, please, Mrs. Fussell. What was he wearing? Yeah.
Really down some